Good to see one of you back in the services this evening. Let's all stand together, begin a worship service. All hail King Jesus.
All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. King of kings, Lord of lords. Bright morning star, and throughout eternity, I'll sing his praises, and I'll reign with him throughout eternity. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And throughout eternity, I'll sing his praises, and I'll reign with him throughout eternity. And I'll reign with him throughout eternity.
Amen, amen. Do we have any prayer requests you make mention at this time? I think Brother James has gone home, correct? So he's doing well, and just continue to pray for his recovery. Yes, and you... Yeah, it's going to be little days of recovery. Yes, and you're having surgery in the morning? Yes. You saved your room. There you go. There you go. All righty. Yes. Okay. Okay, we'll sure do that. Yes, and Jay? Sure. What's the name again?
Fonda.
Fonda. Okay. All righty. Brother David?
David Clay's
brother-in-law. Yes. No, we have not. Brother David's brother-in-law. Okay. Let's remember David Clay's brother-in-law. What was his name again? Her name's Darla. So...
I got one too.
And so remember this, his family. Yes.
Tavga and Michael's.
Tavga son,
and
Michael.
Her sisters had a wreck, I think it was yesterday.
Okay. Her sister had a wreck. Okay.
He's kind of bruised up, but it'll be all right.
Okay. Good deal. Lots of things to pray for. All righty. Let's remember the service tonight and Brother Tommy and Sarah as they come in just a moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and I'd like to ask Brother Jaleel, would you word your prayer, please?
Father God, we thank you so much for a wonderful day we've already had. Father, thank you for the wonderful message you heard this morning. We pray, Father, that you look out to our needs. We are needy people. Father, we claim the promises that you give us. We ask according to your name, you answer it according to your will. Father, we ask you to answer these prayer requests.
Man, one quick announcement I was asked to make. All the ladies are invited to attend the South Park Women's Ministry tomorrow night at 6:30 at Dixie House off of Hewlin. Please sign up on the sheet if you in the foyer there. If you sign up last week, please sign up again. As the list had gotten lost somehow or another. So, ladies' ministries tomorrow night. Please sign up. Let's continue with the worship service. Open my eyes that I may see. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands a wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Let's all stand together to sing. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. I want to see you. Amen.
So glad that you're here this evening. It was a great service this morning, really emotional. Everybody was just grieving together, and it was a very cleansing time this morning. The Lord really moved, I think, to bring us closer together. I'm very excited about tonight. I'll leave you guys standing here for a minute. Hope you got plenty of rest today. All right. Tonight we have some of our missionaries with us. We have, and I'm going to try to get the names right, Tommy and Sarah. I forgot Martha's name this morning. I was trying to explain, and I said Margaret, and I barely got that out. So anyway, tonight we have Tommy Rose and his wife Sarah. They're going to be sharing their story here in a little bit, and their children, Micah, Silas, Isley Grace. Did I say it right? Probably not. Oh, I did. All right. Very good. And we're so glad that they're here. And though I haven't really, I've met Sarah before, and she was a lot younger. I don't know if she remembers. I was going to CBC one time to see if y'all wanted to go. Anyway, and I think I saw you when you were little. So I don't know if I've ever met Tommy before. I've seen his picture a couple of times. And so we're really looking forward to hearing from them tonight. And they have a real connection to this church. So it's kind of like seeing Ken folks you hadn't seen in a long time. So we're looking very forward to that. So we're going to try to give them as much time as we can. So this morning we had a good service, and Brother Brian shared with us, and it really got things headed in a good direction, I think. And so tonight I want to ask his dad to pray at this time as we open the services up here. Right now,
Brother. Father in heaven, we thank you once again that we can be in your house, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the services today. God bless our hearts, touch our hearts. Thank you for all you do for us. You watch care over the people that serve for you in different capacities. Lord, praise you be in this offering. Go forth to do your will. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Jesus to Calvary did go. His love for sinners to show. What he did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me.
You guys have been working out since January, yeah? All right, there we go. So we are very, very, very excited to be here to share with you guys. I think the last time I was here, it was for Brother Galen's 50th year in the ministry anniversary, and that was like 20 years ago, right? So no, but we do have special ties to this church, and we are very excited to be here with you guys this evening. We have a video that I'd like to show you guys, just to give you guys a little bit of an idea of what we do and what goes on there in Mexico. So hopefully you see this, enjoy this this video. Thank you. All right. Thanks for watching that. You get a kind of a little idea of what Mexico's like, driving through the mountains and all kinds of stuff. So hope you enjoyed that. Well, I guess what we'll do is we have a PowerPoint, some pictures that we wanted to show you too. So as he gets that up, we'll talk about what we do there in Mexico, and I want Sarah to come up and share a little bit about what she does, what she did there in Pachuca, and also her testimony and things like that. But this first slide says El Arco. It means the arch. This is the church that we're planting in Mexico, in the city called Querétaro. So we just a little backstory. We really didn't get a chance to come here before we left on the mission field, and so 3 years ago, we haven't been in the States in 3 years, except just to come up and for a week or so, and just celebrate Merry Christmas with the family. So this is the first time in 3 years that we've really been able to come back and to visit churches and to share what we've been doing. So as soon as we left, we went to Costa Rica. I went to Costa Rica, and I was able to study Spanish and grammar and all that stuff. I learned more English than I did Spanish, right? So we lived there for 8 months, and then we went directly from Costa Rica to Pachuca, Mexico. And there, you guys probably know Eric and Kelly Johnson. They were there in Pachuca, and they were there for 2 years in Huejutla and 4 years in Pachuca, and they planted the church El Alba where we served for 2 years. We had originally planned to go to Pachuca and stay for a little while and then move to Querétaro and start a church. That's what we have been commissioned to do, is to start churches. We believe that's the greatest way we can impact the kingdom, is by planting new churches, going into a city and gathering non-believers together and preaching the gospel to them, and they get saved, and we build a church in that way. So, but because of the circumstances, Kelly got pretty sick. And so Eric and Kelly and the kids, they had to move back up to the States, and she's doing great now. So thank you guys for your prayers. I know that you guys prayed over them and everything. She is doing excellent, but not going to be able to go back to Mexico. So that's, we kind of just stayed as a transition, just to kind of help while other leadership was put in place, and so we could go. So finally, we were able to do that, and we have just moved to Querétaro. Now, everybody, can you say that with me? 1, 2, 3, Querétaro. Excellent, great job. So we just moved there, and we literally spent 5 days in our new house, and then drove up here. So. Well, that way, when we get back in August, it'll all be new again, right? So we are very excited that we made that move, and that whenever we get back, it will be semi-ready for us to jump in and start making contacts with the people in Querétaro. If you want to go to the next one, and the next one, that's this is kind of what we did in El Alba. This is my responsibility. If you want to go to the next one there, just so you can get an idea of the temple, the sanctuary in El Alba. Eric was able to purchase a pretty sizable location there, and this is the temple there. If you want to go to the next one, just this is the kids. They're helping me worship, so play the djembe and the cajon is what they call it. So we get to help and worship. The next one, this is Eric. Eric had made when he just left, he would come down every 2 weeks and kind of try and make the transition as easier as it could. And so here we were able to baptize these two young men, and in the church. So my responsibility in the church, as Eric left, Grady was able to come up on the weekends and preach. And during the week, I was starting Bible studies, and you'll see that we'll go through some of these Bible studies. But my responsibility was to teach evangelism and discipleship, and to grow these groups and start new home Bible studies. So that's mostly what I did. And while Grady came and he did most of the pastoral work, you know, I would get trouble started for him, so whenever he got there Saturday, he could handle all the counseling stuff, right? That's what a good associate pastor does, right? That's kind of what we did. If you want to go to the next one there, just some more pictures of the temple there. You can see the people coming. And the next one, I got to preach quite often. So there is that picture. The next one is these kids. They all three of them were born within the same month, and so we're singing happy birthday to them. But that's one of the things that we like to do, is celebrate the birthdays of the kids. The next one, this is part of what I was responsible for, is the evangelism explosion and teaching the men and women how to evangelize, how to share the gospel. And so we have three missions there in Pachuca and the surrounding area, and multiple home groups. And so this is one that was more advanced. They're more they got to the point where they wanted to learn how to share their faith, and we started evangelism explosion there. And they did awesome. They got their certificates, and they were happy this day. They had been certified, and they can go out and share the gospel to their community. Really, really cool story. This family, their community doesn't have one Christian church, and so they found the church there in Alaba, and now they can go and they can share the gospel to their community. The next one. Right now, I would like to ask Sarah if she would come up here. And can I use one of these mics up here? This blue one here, is that cool? Okay. And Sarah. All right, I'm not doing this. All right. But Sarah has done an incredible job, and I want her to share her testimony and about the kids and the women's ministry that she had there in Pachuca.
Okay. Well, I was kind of the one that did the kids. I always enjoy doing kids ministry and everything. They already, when we got there was already, the kid ministry was already up and going, so I didn't have to do very much, I guess. But one thing they didn't have at the church was the baby ministry. I guess because I had a one-year-old and I was soon pregnant with our little girl, I saw the need for baby ministry. I don't know y'all, but having babies in the church crying and running around, I was like, we need to do something. You know, we need to let these mamas know that they have a place where they feel comfortable. They can come leave their baby and we can minister to them. So I felt that was what I could do at that time. So I asked Eric, said, hey, can I kind of do like the baby? He's like, sure, just do it. You do what you need to do. So I kind of started doing the nursery, got it set up and fun. And we didn't just want the babies to just be babysat. We wanted to minister to them. We wanted them to have their class and do that. But then after the transition and everything, for the kids, I don't know about y'all, but the preaching goes a little long in Mexico. So So the preaching would take, I would notice the teachers would get kind of frustrated. The kids would be running around and everything. It's like, let's do something different. So I started doing the little bringing videos and singing with them. And I said, let's get the ladies involved and let's have a snack. Because they would get there around, like my kids get there around 9:30 and wouldn't leave until 3 o'clock. So, so my kids got a little hungry. And I know a lot of the kids did too. So I was like, let's do a snack and get the ladies involved. So we started getting them a little snack and getting the ladies involved. And that just totally made the kids want to come and made them really excited. We started around 10 to 15, and now we have about 30 kids every Sunday morning. So it has grown so much, and we have been excited. They get their lunch, like you see, the kids, the baby ministry has grown a lot. So that's something I kind of got in charge and was headed and excited to be part of. Can you go to the next one? Okay, the next one is, I'm not sure if y'all still do Sunbeams here, but I know y'all have in the past, if haven't. But Texas Sunbeams, their national work, they provided money. We were one of their projects, and they provided money for us to get some tables for the kids. The kids were coloring on the floors and little mats that they had, and I thought, you know, we were so blessed for them to sponsor us that year, and we said, let's get some tables for these kids, and they're super excited. All of them are always packed and ready to use. Next one. Okay, this is the babies. Isley is in all the little pictures with her little friends. There was I think something was in the water that year that all the babies came. Is there the next one? Okay. And the next thing I was Kelly did a wonderful job with the ladies there. When I came, she was in charge of the WMA in the Sunday school, this is what she started. She started the women's breakfast. And when she left, she said, hey, do you mind taking over? And so I've been blessed to do this. When I took over, we started doing, I'm a crafter. I like DIY, Pinterest, and everything. And I noticed that in the ladies, too. I would go to their homes, and they would show me little things they did. And I said, why don't we do that in our breakfast? So I would have Bible study. I would teach. You know, we would eat, of course, like any good Baptist. We would eat. Then I had the Bible study and teaching. And then I said, you know what? Invite your friends, and we're going to do a craft. And I would provide the material, and they would craft. Next one. Here's one we're doing a craft for Easter time. I always try to do it theme-wise for them to get excited or something like that. This one, we wanted to make sure we shared our faith with our neighbors. In Mexico, if you know, the cross, because it's really big Catholic, that only Catholic people has the cross. But we wanted to teach the ladies that the cross is nothing bad. It's the reason we have our salvation is because that cross. And yes, Jesus is not on that cross, but we can show and tell others about that cross. So next one. Yeah, this is me teaching. I think that's our next one. And Isley, my baby girl, goes with me. I know that, I don't know if it's here, but I've always had, I'm going to go into my testimony. My mom, Martha, she grew up in this church, and Brother Galen was her pastor. And did you marry them?
No.
Okay, Papa did. Okay, but they met. One thing I do know that my dad said that if he had to, he was going to date my mom, that he would have to come talk to Brother Galen to make sure if it was okay. So So thank you to Brother Galen that they got married. So one thing that I do remember is that I have pictures of my mom speaking at camps and stuff like that, and I'm right there with her playing. And when I saw this picture, I was like, she's with me when I get to do this kind of things now. And so it's pretty special for me that she's right beside me at these moments. What's the next picture? The next picture, this is Valentine's. We chose to do like a Valentine's theme craft. And in each one, most of these ladies are not come to the church. They, some of them are sisters or family members or neighbors who kind of iffy if they want to come to church, but they'll come to eat and do a craft. So next picture. Oh, okay. And so I'm this past July 2nd, I left. I invited a lady from another church to come speak, and another lady from the church was going to do the craft. And they sent me some pictures, and they said there was 31 ladies there. And I was just blessed because it's clearly nothing that I'm doing. It's nothing that, you know, nothing I'm... But it's totally God working at that church, and God is blessing this church, and it's just amazing. And I don't know what else you wanted me to say about my testimony. And my dad and Martha, you know, they started one of the biggest churches in Mexico, and this church has been such a blessing to the ministry in Mexico. And y'all continuing doing that with Grady and with Eric, and now through us, you know, and we're going to a new area where the BMA has never had a church. And we're so excited to be in a different area in Mexico that y'all are part of again, and y'all are ministering through my family. And to see my kids, when we come to churches and share what God is doing in where we live, because they're little and they are like, oh, we're just going to another church. But for them to have that legacy of, you know, we were here and God has been working through our family, and these churches are our family. And y'all are here praying for us and supporting us, and it's a huge blessing to us. And thank you so much for doing that.
I should have warned you guys that whenever Sarah gets to talk, she usually makes people cry. But
she does a great job. Thank you, Sarah. And that's what I love about the women's Bible studies and things like that is that the majority of those women, they've never been to our church, but they'll come because their friends or family members invite them to come do a craft and stuff like that, and she loves doing that. So we, you know, some of those women have been incorporated into the church. They've been saved, and they go to the church now. And so that's just one inlet, I guess, that we as the church there in Adalba that we love to see happen, because that's what we experience is people getting involved, inviting, if they can only invite a friend or a neighbor or someone there, and them get saved out of that and get incorporated into the church. That's a really exciting thing to see. Like I told you guys, I was responsible for the home Bible studies and multiplying those and stuff like that. And so here I want to show you what we did in the home Bible studies. All right, here's a video again. Here's the home Bible studies. On Monday nights, if you want to go, you can go pretty fast, just like a second and a half. This is a study in Waska that we had. And keep on scrolling. And here we are with Evangelism Explosion. and the people there in Waska are studying. And here's what Sarah was saying, you know, like good Baptists, we always eat. So here, I mean, that's the reason we do home Bible studies, right? You can stay on this one for just a sec. But after the Bible studies, we would help cook and all kinds of stuff. So it was just a great time to talk and to commune with each other and go a little deeper. That was Monday nights. Tuesday nights, we went to an area that was about 20 minutes away from the church. Still there in Pachuca, but it is off to the edge of where Pachuca is. And this lady, her name is Alma. And she came to us because a lot in the service we tell everybody every Sunday that we want to grow in God's word and in God's love. And one of the ways that we do that is by inviting neighbors and inviting people to our home. And so opening up our home and inviting people in it so that they can hear the gospel. And so this lady, she said, you know, I don't get to do much. She has four boys. She stays at the home at her house. And so she said, you know, I don't get much time. I can't really leave. I can't really do, you know, the things that I would like to do. So, but what I want to do and what I can do is open up my house to my neighbors and my friends. And so I'd like for you guys to come to my house and do a Bible study. And we said, that's awesome. That's what we're all about. So we went there. And if you can see, there's two ladies sitting there. She's showing her how to find the verses and read her Bible and stuff. And this lady is one of her friends that lives right there next to her. And she invited her to come to the Bible study to hear the gospel, to eat and all that. And she did. She brought her kids and everything. And she received Christ that night. And so that I think that's just it's an incredible story, an example of what we are all about. And how just opening up your house can mean the difference between someone's eternal life and eternal death. So there is a pretty cool example of that. You keep on going, you see the kids. They do crafts. You see this lady in the corner there in the purple? Her name is Sidi, and she is great. She comes with us to most of the Bible studies that we have, and she teaches the kids. Because if not, then the kids would be running around doing cartwheels and eating stuff and throwing it at people and be like, hey, you know, hey, sit down. And well, she takes them, she teaches them a lesson, she does crafts with them. And so she's an excellent asset to have as we go around starting these Bible studies. Keep on going. Here Wednesday night we have a typical service at the church, and that was one of my responsibilities to do the Wednesday night since Grady wasn't there. And Micah, he often helped me with leading worship and everything like that. I only play guitar when it's necessary. I can only play like a couple chords. So there's not many that come on Wednesday, but they're faithful to come, and they've been growing in the Lord and everything. So it's really neat to see them. These might be people who can't open up their house for some reason, but they come on Wednesdays. So, and here Sarah teaches the kids on Wednesday nights. They've been going through the superheroes of the Bible, and so I think they've really enjoyed that. Keep on going. We were able to through the sunbeams to also purchase a TV, and so the kids on Sundays, they use that to sing along to songs and to watch little Bible cartoons. Also on Wednesday, they do that. And so thank you guys for paving the way for that. Also, Eric had bought this property with the intention of starting an institute there. It's very central to all of Mexico, and so it's a great place to have all the people and young men that are feeling the call to plant churches and to go into the ministry, to pastor churches, to come to and to have some institute, some schooling. And so we're going to use that TV also there in that room to show some institute classes. There'll be three that are starting this September. So we're going to utilize that to train up the men to go out and plant churches also. Thursday night is another Bible study that we have. It's about 15 minutes from the church and a different area of Pachuca. And what's cool about this house is the lady there that's in the black, she is a former witch doctor. She's a witch. Her dad was a witch. They have different levels of witches in Mexico, and he was the black witch. You know, those are the guys who are into some evil stuff. And usually, the firstborn of their family takes over the business. That's how they earn their business. And so they start off, a lot of it is medical, like prescribing herbs and stuff like that, but then it gets to some pretty dark stuff. And she was the firstborn, and she was going to take over the business. Well, she got saved, and so she decided she shouldn't be playing with two different masters, and so she quit all of that, and she does whatever she can to make money for the family. But she is a very godly woman, a very a great example for us, and also her husband. He, you know, where he could have got really mad and said, you know, this is our livelihood. You know, we were doing fine until you got saved. He got saved too, and he works all day, every day. All it takes, works at night, works at day to provide for his family. And he's a great guy. But what we do on Thursday nights is we kind of switch. One lady will say, "Hey, I have some neighbors and friends that I want to invite, so let's have it at my house." And so we switch. This lady, she lives about 30 minutes from the church, and so we go to her house, and she provides a meal and stuff, and it's really cool to change venues and to invite. This is our house. We have people around us, and we said, "Hey, we have friends and family that we want to invite." So, well, let's have it at our house. And keep going. That's this still Saturday. Friday night, we go to a church. This is one of our missions in Tizayuca. It's about 45 minutes south towards Mexico City. And what really neat about this place is that it's an Air Force base. And so the guys that we are part of this group, they work for the Air Force. They're military men. And so we go to the base, and they have to come out and escort us in. And so that's the only way that we are able to get in, is because these men are Christians, and they work for the military, and they let us in. And so we have a great opportunity, and we take advantage of it to go in this base, and we have Bible studies and worship and a meal, and we talk to the military families, and there's just gobs of kids that are there, that live there on the base. And all you need is a soccer ball and go out there and start kicking it around, and they all come. So it's really neat to see them doing that. These are just some more pictures of that Bible study. It's really been growing. Now, when they make salsa and that thing, you know it's hot, all right? And that's what she's doing. She's down there. She's grinding up the chilies and stuff. You know it's hot. And the food on the right that I'm eating, they're making fun of me. It's a tlayuda, And it's a huge tostada, and they put meat and everything on it, and they were making fun of me because I ate it all. But it was good. So this is a mission that we have that's 2 hours away, so we don't get to go there every week. We go there every other week. And this is called Xochimilco. This is up in the mountains in a different state. It's in Puebla. And these people, if you notice on the table out there, there's some jewelry, some rings, necklaces and such. That's what these people do for a living. You'll show up and they will have trays of beads and they're just going at it, making all kinds of stuff. It's really impressive the stuff that they can make. But that's what they do for a living. They'll make all that and then they'll go down to a big city and they'll sell it. So this is a show a few more pictures of that. Oh, thank you very much. there's quite a few kids that that come out and like I said, CD is there. She's teaching with Sarai. They're teaching the kids there. As I told you guys, we've been in Pachuca for 2 years. We just moved right before we came up, and these are a few pictures of that trip. We moved to Querétaro, so go ahead and move on there. We packed everything up. Now we have moved 4 times in 3 different countries within the past 4 years, and so and I moved my family myself in trucks and trips going back and forth, and so we decided, hey, this next time we're going to get a moving truck and we're just going to pack everything up and let them throw it all in there. And I think the next picture is we stayed at the church for a week before while we're getting ready. The next picture is them. You can see they just stood there and they just chunked it all in there. So man, not really. They packed it very well, but it looks like it. That's us entering into Querétaro, and so it is the Querétaro is known for the arches. They have an aqueduct, and it goes from the mountains to the heart of the city. And it's made up right now of 74 arches. There are more, but they've been destroyed. These are 74 arches, and it's pretty incredible. And that's why we chose to name our church the Arch, because it goes with the city. It identifies with the city. The next one is of the kids. We moved to a house that's right behind a park. And so they've been playing and having a great time with everybody there. On the back table, just a few more things to announce about that, and then I want to share something out of God's Word with you guys real quick. Back there, there's a sticker, and it says it's just the logo of our church that we're planting in Querétaro. You guys pick up one of these. They're free. You don't have to pay anything. You get one of those, but stick it somewhere where you're going to see it often, okay? And we want you guys to pray for us. We know that you do pray for us. Just stick this somewhere where you're going to see it often and pray for us that we meet some people there in Querétaro that will listen to the gospel and that will become part of our church there, okay? Also, there's some bracelets. If you guys wear bracelets, the youth or whatever, you guys wear them. Wear one of those. It says El Arco, which is the name of the church. And then on the back it says hashtag PrayQRO. That's the hashtag that we created to pray for the church that we have there in Mexico. PrayQRO, Pray Querétaro. So pick one of those up, and whenever you're reminded of us by this bracelet, you guys pray for us. And last thing is there's these little info sheet here. And if you guys would like to be a part of the newsletter, you can fill out your information here and tear this bottom piece off, leave it on that table, and we'll get you signed up for the for the newsletter. But then on the back, there's also some more information, email address if you want to send us an email. Also, link on Facebook. Follow us on Facebook. We try and keep up and post a lot of stuff on Facebook so you guys can follow us. We know that as we go to many of the churches, they tell us and they say, y'all, we saw that you were here or there on Facebook. And so that seems to be a great way to keep in contact with us. And also our address, physical address there in Querétaro, if you ever need to send us something or, you get lost in Mexico and you need some physical address to go to, you know, you're more than welcome to show up at our house there or give. Don't give it to the cops or anything, but, you know. But if you have your Bibles, I'd like to share just a little bit with you guys out of the Word of God. It's in the Gospel of Mark, in the Gospel of Mark chapter 2. Now, one of the things that sets us apart as Christians is forgiveness, is that word that it carries a lot for us as Christians, the word forgiveness. And we see here in Jesus, as he's speaking to these men in chapter 2, he says to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. And that's a word that means a lot to us. It's very weighty and heavy, and it means a great deal because we are, as Christians, forgiven of all of our sin. We, as people, the Bible says we have all sinned, right? So we're all sinners, and we have fallen short of the glory of God, and so we're all in the same boat. Everybody in this world is a sinner, and we have fallen short of the glory of God. And so think of this, everyone in heaven and in hell is going to be full of sinners. The only difference is that we are forgiven as Christians. And so this word means a little bit more to us, knowing that heaven and hell will be full of sinners, but that we will be able to enter into eternal life with God only because he has forgiven us of our sin. Here in Mark, that is what Jesus is getting across to all these people that have come and surrounded him in this house. And I'd like to read this story. It says in verse 1, when he had come back to Capernaum several days afterwards, it was heard that he was at home, and many were gathered together so that there was no longer room, not even near the door. And he speaking the word to them, and they came bringing him a paralytic carried by four men. Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug an opening, they let him down on a pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their face, said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. But some of the scribes who were sitting in there reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sin but God alone? Immediately, Jesus, aware of his spirit, that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, why are you reasoning about these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, pick up your pallet, and walk? But, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home. And he got up and immediately picked up his pallet and went out in the sight of everyone, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. So Jesus, he comes to Capernaum again in the first verse. It says that he came back to Capernaum, which makes me think to myself, well, where was he? We see that in the first part of Mark that Jesus had been doing a bunch of healings, right? And people had come to see him heal people like this paralytic, lepers, and all kinds of stuff. And what Jesus typically would do to these people is he would say, you know, you're healed, but don't go and tell anybody, right? And I always wondered, why did he do that? Why would he heal somebody and then tell them, okay, well now don't go like screaming that to everybody and telling everybody that I healed you. And it came to me here that Jesus, his desire and his passion was to speak the word to the people. And what that's the gospel. And so he would tell people, look, you know, I healed you, but don't go telling people, because then everybody's going to come and I'm not going to be able to speak. I'm not going to be able to share the word to them. And that's what happened. Everybody came to Jesus. He spent all night healing all these people. He wakes up in the morning. He goes out on the mountain. He's praying, right? And his disciples, they slept in. And now they wake up and they're like, where's Jesus? And so they go out and they find Jesus, and Jesus says, hey, I've been praying, pack up your stuff, we got to go. We're going to go and speak the word to all these cities that surround us. And so that's what they did for months. They went around to all the cities in Galilee, and they proclaimed the word, the gospel, to the people that were surrounding the Sea of Galilee. Now he comes back to Capernaum. He's back there in verse 1. And in the end of verse 2, it says that they all found out that he was in his house. They all came to it, and he was doing what? He was speaking the word to them. And so he was doing what what was his desire, his passion, to speak the word to them. He not only wanted to heal people physically, but he wanted, you know, the better thing is that they would understand that he is God, and that in him they could find forgiveness. And so he's speaking the word to them. And that was his desire, and I believe that's what our desire should be also, is to speak the word to people, to take advantage of the opportunities that we have every day to share the gospel. I remember in Mexico, I had the opportunity to go and to do trainings in Disciple Way. It's a process of making disciples, of creating leaders, and that's what we desire to do in Mexico and in church planning, is to create leaders so that we can say, all right, here's the church, or here's this Bible study. Now it's yours. You do it. You multiply it and reproduce it. And so that's what we desire to do. And every once in a while, I get to go and do trainings. And so, but Pachuca, I was talking to some of you guys before, Pachuca is up in the mountains. It's about 9,000 feet up in the mountains. And so it's nice and cool. It's not very hot. You know, whenever we think of Mexico, we think, oh man, desert, hot, you know, or tropical, just really hot. But in Pachuca, it's nice. It's about 70s all year round, all right? So you guys come visit, all right? I mean, it's just not, there's no mosquitoes, there's no bugs or cockroaches or anything like that because it's so high up. But they invited me to go down to Veracruz, which is on the coast. And it's right there by the ocean, but it's tropical, it's hot, and all kinds of stuff. So but I'm excited. I love to teach and to do these trainings. So we went, but we were there for a whole week. And I was there without my family. I was missing my family. It was hot. And I was just, by the end of the week, we had a great time, but I was just ready to get back home. Right? And so what we had done is we had carpooled from Huejutla to Veracruz. So we got back to Huejutla, and I got in my Jeep, and I started taking off. Now, from Huejutla, where Brother Buddy had been for so many years, to Pachuca, it's only 60 miles, but it's up and through the mountains and down and in the valleys and all that. So it takes 4 hours to go 60 miles. So I get in my Jeep and I start going off up the mountains. All right, and I'm doing great, and I'm excited for my Jeep, you know, and it's doing a good job. It's an older Jeep, but it's doing good. So I get halfway to Pachuca. I'm up on top of this mountain. It's kind of an eerie town because it's just fog all the time. It's so high up, and so it's just fog all the time. And I get up there, and my Jeep just starts having problems. It doesn't die, but it doesn't have any power to get up the mountains. And I'm thinking, this is not where you want to get stranded. And so I'm texting Sarah. I'm like, hey, look, you know, if I don't show up, you know, this is where you need to start looking, this town. And so we start, I go to a gas station. I'm thinking maybe it's bad gas. Just it's acting weird. So I fill it up with, now in Mexico, there's green gas and there's red gas. And the green gas is the cheap gas, and that's what I usually get. And the red gas is like the really expensive gas. So I was like, well, I'll get the expensive gas. I'll get some injection cleaners and stuff like that to run through there. And I let it run for a little bit and let it cool down and start it back up. And I was good. I was going. So I took off and I was just 30 minutes, guys, 30 minutes from Pachuca, and it started doing it again. I'm thinking, man, if only I can get up this last mountain, I can fall down the other side and hit Pachuca, right? So it's just not wanting to go. This town that I'm telling you guys about, Huasca, I have to go through Huasca to get to Pachuca from this side of the mountain. So I thought, well, I'll turn around and I'll coast back down into the valley and go to Huasca and get a taxi and go home. So that's what I did. I got there, and the hermano Cirilo, who lives there, he called a taxi for me, and so I was waiting on the taxi, and I'm at this point, I'm frustrated. My Jeep is messing up. I've been gone all week. I'm missing my family, and so I'm thinking I'm gonna throw in my stuff in the taxi, and I'm just gonna pass out. And wake up when he starts nudging me. Like, where do you live? You know, which house is yours? And so I get in and he begins to ask me questions. You know, typical questions of a white guy who lives in Mexico, right? I just don't blend in very well. And so usually the first questions that I get asked is, am I an exchange student? Or why are you living here in Mexico? And so it's why are you living here? Why would you live here if you're living in the States? Why would you want to live here in Mexico? And so I was explaining that we are there. We are planting churches. We're growing churches there in Mexico, and that I love my job. And so he began to ask questions about the gospel, about Jesus, about why we do the things that we do. And so it naturally led into the gospel. And so I was sharing with him all these things, that why Jesus came and he died and all these things. And by the time we got to our house, he was wanting to pray. He said, I want to receive this gift of eternal life. That's what I want to do. And so we prayed right there in his taxi, and I said goodnight, and I walked in the house, and I was telling Sarah. I laid down, and then it hit me. So all the things that had to happen for this man just to hear the gospel. Now, usually I don't take my Jeep. I'll take a bus or something. Usually my Jeep doesn't mess up, you know, it's kind of reliable, you know, so, but this time it's just messing up every once in a while. And so, I mean, just all these things. And he was the taxi guy who came, and he's the one who began to ask these questions, and it was all God. And all I had to do in this grand plan was share the gospel. That's all my responsibility was. I didn't have to make the guy pray. I didn't have to make the guy believe. I didn't have to make them not believe. All my job was to do was to share. And that's all that God wants us to do. He says that in Romans chapter 1 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God says that His gospel is the power of God to salvation. And so I guarantee you my presentation of the gospel that night was not that great. It was the power of God that changed this man's heart and that gave him the faith to believe that he could have eternal life in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's all we are asked to do, is just to share. And that's what Jesus' desire as he was on this earth was, to share the Word of God. And he made that very clear. Now, this is the exciting part right here. It says that these men were reasoning in their hearts. He tells the paralytic, who this guy, that, now just imagine these guys, you know. These four guys, they're carrying their friend, their paralytic friend, on a mat. And they come to this house, and it's full of people, and they can't get in. I imagine the door is just jammed. If there were windows, there's like people shoved in the windows. Their feet are just hanging out. And they're there to listen to Jesus. And these four men, they get there and they say, there's no way that we can get in the door. There's no way we can get in the windows. There's no way that we can get in any opening of the house. And so, hey, let's dig a hole in the roof. Now, this is not their house. My mom always told me to respect other people's property, right? And so here they arrive at this house. It's not their house. And I pray it wasn't Jesus' house, because they just tore a hole in it. And so they devised this plan, like engineers, right? They say, we're going to drop this, our friend, right in front of Jesus. And so they tear open a hole in the roof, and they drop their friend down right in front of Jesus. And imagine us, you know, I imagine there's teachers here, our people who stand up in front of a class. Now, when we stand up in front of somebody, we really like the distractions to be at a minimal, right? And so, Brother David, you know, when you're preaching, you don't want somebody dancing or making a fool of themselves in the middle of the hall, the aisle or something like that. Well, here Jesus is sharing the gospel, he's sharing the word, and he's got pieces of roof hitting him in the head and dropping down. And you know, for us, I'm thinking, man, these guys, if I had a stick, I would just, you know, like, try and hurt these guys and get off the roof. But Jesus uses this as an illustration. And you know, as pastors, we try and make up these really cool illustrations, right? We think probably way too much on them. But here Jesus uses he's got guys tearing the roof open. So he's like, I'm just going to use these guys as an illustration to teach all these people that I am God. And so they drop him down, and he says to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven. You're looking for forgiveness. Obviously, this guy, he had been not only looking for physical healing, but spiritual healing too. So he says, your sins are forgiven. He knows that the people are going to be thinking, what is this guy doing? They've come here to trap Jesus in some sort of trap and to say, you are blaspheming, and now we have proof and we're going to kill you. And so they've been waiting for this opportunity. They're thinking to themselves, there it is. He is claiming to be God. Nobody can forgive sin but God. And so we can take this back to the Jerusalem, the council, and we can put this forward, and we can arrest him, and we can have him murdered and killed for proclaiming to be God. And Jesus, knowing what they're thinking, says, that's exactly right. And so that you know that I have authority, that I am God, that I have authority to forgive sin, he tells the paralytic, get up, roll up your mat, and walk. And that's exactly what this guy does. After not being able to walk his entire life, never making his bed, he stands up, makes his bed, rolls it up, throws it on his shoulder, and walks out. Walks out. Now, you guys have all had kids, right? How long does it take these kids to learn how to walk? It takes a little while, doesn't it? Now, this guy's never walked in his life. He doesn't have muscles or anything like that. Jesus creates all this. He says, get up, take up your mat, and walk. And it's exactly what he does. And so in that, he's proving to all these people, I am God, and in me, here's the good part, I can forgive sin. I can forgive sin because I am God. And that's incredible for us to understand as we go out into the world and we have these opportunities to proclaim the gospel and to share the gospel with our neighbors and our family and our friends, is that they can find forgiveness in Jesus. And that's exactly what Jesus is trying to proclaim and trying to teach these people here. And then the last thing I want you guys to see is that this crowd, maybe they all arrived for different reasons. We don't know. But here, the guy leaves, and it says that they were all amazed, and they were glorifying God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. And then it says in 13, and he went out again by the seashore, and all the people were coming to him. They were following him, and he was teaching them. Then verse 14, as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, who we know as Matthew, sitting in the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he got up, and he followed him. I think this ties in right to what Jesus is trying to say, is that he forgives sin. That our goal in being a Christian, being forgiven, is to glorify God in all that we say and that we do, to follow Him in all the things that we do and that we say. And so he heals this guy. He teaches them, all these people in this whole city. He is God. He leaves. He goes out to the seashore. Everybody's following him. He stops by the tax booth here of Levi. And think of this. We all know Matthew, right? He is the tax collector. He is the publican of his city. And he is a traitor to the Jewish people. And so he is, you know, when we see a tax collector or a tax booth or something like that, we do everything that we can to avoid that guy, right? And so I imagine it was very lonely for Matthew sitting there at that tax booth. I believe that everybody, whenever they went down that road, they probably took off the long way around to not come in contact with this guy. And maybe they were thinking, this guy, this publican, this sinner, he is unforgivable. He is a traitor to his own people. He left and went to work for the ruling government to take taxes and to steal people's money. He is unforgivable. And here Jesus, after teaching that he can forgive sin, he has the authority to do it, stops off at the booth of Matthew and says, follow me. Now, I'd like to think Matthew's thinking that he is unforgivable. And that in Jesus saying, follow me, that Matthew heard, Matthew, you're not unforgivable. You are forgivable. Because I have authority. I am God. And if you trust in me, then I will give you salvation. And Matthew stood up and followed Jesus. I don't know where we are in our lives today, but maybe Jesus is here and he's saying, hey, you're not unforgivable. You're not useless. And he's saying, come, follow me. I will put you to work. Whatever it is that you're good at, And whatever it is that you can, if you can open up your house and invite some of your friends and your family and your neighbors to your house, if that's all you can, that's perfect. That's my plan for you, to invite them there and so that they would hear the gospel. That's my desire, is that the world would hear. And so maybe we're at this point now, and Jesus is there at our table, and he's saying, "Hey, follow me." We're saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I can do to glorify you in my word and in my speech. And he's saying, just follow me. I'll show you what you can do. I'll open your eyes to the opportunities every day to share the gospel. Maybe that's what he's telling us this evening. And so thank you guys so much for allowing us to come and allowing us to share just a little bit about Mexico and to maybe challenge you guys just a little as we see the desire of Jesus is to share the gospel. Not because we can get very good at it and presenting the gospel, but because it's the power of God to salvation. And that whenever we share it, God is allowed to work in people's heart and change them. I love the way Paul writes in Colossians. He says that salvation is like we're in the darkness and we can't see anything and we're just going around in the darkness. And then Jesus transfers us. He picks us up and he transfers us to the light. Now what a great picture that we have as Christians to be that agent to share the gospel and to allow people to see the light and to say, that's what I want. That's the light. That's the gospel, and that's what I want. I want eternal life, and I want Jesus to come and pick me up out of the darkness and transfer me to his light and to his kingdom. That's an incredible photo, imagery that we have there in Colossians, that we would be that agent to bring that gospel and that power of God to salvation. Incredible. Let me pray for you guys, and then Brother David, it's yours. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. It has been an incredible day, incredible time to share here with South Park, and we ask a large blessing on this church. We thank you for them and what they mean to us, what they mean to our family. Thank you for their involvement in our work as we share with the people in Mexico. Thank you for their prayers and their support, and we just ask a large blessing upon them as they continue to impact their community here. We pray for the men and the women and the youth that are here, that you would use them, and that they would be available to say, God, whatever it is you would like me to do, give me the strength to do it, and that they would stand up and that they would follow you. Thank you so much for all that you have done for us, all that you've shown us these past years. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray these things. Amen.